Way through this series. This is a long one, 11 weeks long, so I guess five and a half would be halfway. This is week six, and we are working our way through the book Slow Church, Cultivating Community in the Patient Way of Jesus. We've been talking over the past couple of weeks about what it means to be a slow church. We're in this period of transition in life and also at Awaken, and I thought, hey, let's talk about church and what does church look like and who are we as the church? What are some of the founding principles of Awaken? This was a book that was highly influential for me when I started Awaken. We talked about it as our core group when we started Awaken. We started over 10 years ago. It's crazy. And here we still are going after it. So I thought, let's revisit this book and let's recenter ourselves. And each week we've been talking about a different principle that's found in the book. We do have a couple extra copies that hopefully we'll be on the back table in a little bit if you don't have a copy of the book and would like to join us. But today, let's talk about the idea, everyone's favorite topic on a Sunday, work. Just what you want to talk about before Monday morning rolls around and your alarm clock goes off and you, really? Let's talk a bit about work. And in order to talk about work, let's start in the beginning. And when I mean beginning, I mean like the beginning, like really, really early on. Because I'm sure when you hear the word work, you all have different ideas about work. Some are pleasant, maybe. Some are like, no, there's nothing pleasant about the idea of work. We all have these ideas about what work is, what it should be, and then all different ideas that come to our mind about our own personal experiences that we've had with work. But let's begin at the beginning, and what ideally does work look like? What's the purpose of work? Why, and I mean even, should work be something that we engage in? So here we are in Genesis chapter 1. What are we at, 20? Go one more slide. Yeah, verse 26. Then God says, so this is the beginning, God's creating. So again, like I said, very, very early on in the story. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals. Sounds like a fun job, right? A little Steve Irwin action. Over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is the original intent of work. Sounds like a fun job, does it not? Let's explore this a little bit more. If we go to the next slide. So oftentimes when we think about the Garden of Eden, we think it's just bliss. Eternal bliss. We're just all sitting there by the pool. Someone's bringing us margaritas, white towels, white cloth service, all of that. So that's kind of the idea. We think everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And there was none of this grueling, hard Monday morning, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., have to slog through the week idea of work. And then normally when we have this idea of heaven, we have a very similar idea of what heaven's going to be like. Except instead of by the pool, we're just kind of floating on clouds. And things are just, everything is great. You're resting, you have your remote control. You ever see WALL-E? And during WALL-E, there's a futuristic scene where I guess there's these people that are sitting on these mechanisms that are just sort of carrying, they're levitating and carrying them through all of the land, WALL-E world, whatever it is. And people are bringing them soda, they're bringing them food. Everything that they want in life is just simply being handed to them, and they're just floating on down a line. But this isn't the picture that we're given of the beginning, nor is it the picture that we're given of the end. There's actually a role. There's a purpose as to why you, me, all of us are here. There's something that we were created for. Unfortunately, sometimes that idea gets distorted. That idea gets tainted. And something that is meant for our good and for the good of all creation, it gets thwarted, and we begin to see things a little bit differently than how they were intended to be. Let's go to the next slide. So in the beginning, humanity's role is to work, and that means to multiply. It means to create things. Who likes creating things? Yeah, we all have different things that we create. Some of you, Laura, she created pies for us. She took all these ingredients, all these things, and then, boom, now we have a pie that we can all ingest and we can eat, and we say, oh, it's magnificent. Some of you like creating electronic things. You like working with your hands, fusing wires together. Some of you, Junior, I went over to his house, and he's like, look at this garden that I created in my backyard. And so what he did is he got some wood, I believe, right? And you framed it out. You got some wires for the animals. And he created this beautiful garden so that him and his family would have food to put on their nice, fresh, organic produce. The stuff that you don't get in the grocery store. You pull it right out of the garden. You eat it. And eat one of those tomatoes ever, right? And you're like, oh, my goodness. These things are so much better than what I get at Stop and Shop at 1 in the morning. Yeah, you all love creating things. It's all different. Some of you love creating music. You love taking images and then refining them in a particular way and photoshopping it to make everyone look much better in the photograph than in real life. So we all have different things that we like to make, that we like to create. We're meant to fill the earth, right? What's this commission that God gives us? Fill the earth. Don't just be stationary, stagnant. Don't just stay in your own little bubble, but fill the earth with what? With goodness, with life. With love, by what you're creating, give back to the world and all humanity that you are a part of. And also shaping. Have you ever seen someone's front yard that hasn't been cut? The lawn hasn't been cut in a couple of weeks, couple of months? You ever see an overgrown part of land where there's just weeds growing everywhere? That's because it hasn't been taken care of. The role that we were given right from the beginning was to take care of the earth. To shape it in a particular way that's moving forward in a way that, again, is good for all of us. And we make work about ourselves. Oh, actually, we're going to get there in a minute, so maybe I'll stop. Let's flip to the next slide. Here's another idea of what happens in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, just to reinforce this idea. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. There's that idea again. Take care. To be stewards. None of this is ours. We think it's ours. I have a deed saying I own this part of land, but eventually I'm going to get rid of it. Eventually I'm going to die. None of this is ours. We're simply stewards of the gifts and the possessions that we have for a temporary period of time. It's all temporary. And the task, the job that we've been given is to take care of it, to make it a little bit better. To make sure that it doesn't go the way of that front yard that the lawn hasn't been mowed in weeks and months, rather to shape it in a way that brings beauty to the earth. So here we are, caring, protecting, enable the flourishing of all creation. Now let's go one more slide. Oftentimes, when we sit around church, work is simply a product of the fall. Oh, if Adam and Eve hadn't had that apple or the pomegranate, whatever fruit they had, then none of this would have happened. And we'd be poolside with our margaritas. We're told that the fall, well, because of this, because of what they did, well, now we are forced to be slaves to the system. But the fall comes Genesis 3. What we just read is Genesis 1 and 2. So work is something that comes before the fall. Work is something that was meant to be good, that was meant to fill us and the world. So it's not a curse. As I said before, the meaning, it's been tainted. It's been distorted. We as humans, we kind of have a tendency to mess things up a bit. You ever notice that? Yeah, we have a tendency to take something that is good and then to twist it ever so slightly, and it's moving in a direction, you're off a degree, and now all of a sudden you're miles from the center, from the thing that it was meant to be. Oftentimes, work becomes a means to an end. I know many people, when I was growing up, I used to work at a car garage, and everyone was like, oh, at Friday during payday, like, now I have my drinking money for the weekend. So work oftentimes becomes a means to an end, so that now you can go and you can consume, and you can do more and more. I can go buy that new plasma TV. I can go buy that new car, all the different things. And that's good, but when work, you're simply working so that you can purchase something and buy something, well, then the idea of work, it gets distorted a little bit. It becomes simply a means to an end rather than work being something that is meant for the good of all creation. Work being something that is satisfying and filling for you and that spreads love and grace to others. You ever have a great day of work? And maybe it's the thing that you do for an income, or maybe you're working in your garden, you're working outside all night long or all day long, and then you rest your head at the end of the day and you have this feeling of being filled. Maybe something, you had a great conversation with someone at work. Yeah, you spoke to one of your students during the day, and that you helped them so much. You helped the family, and then you're laying in bed at night, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's what I was made for. I'm doing some good. I'm spreading the love of Jesus with others. Or, I'm sure, Junior, when you were done with that garden that night, you're like, I accomplished something. I did a great, that was great. So take that feeling of being filled and satisfied at the end of a long, hard day when you're just chugging down Gatorade. And then imagine if you're sitting in front of the TV for 12 hours binging on something, and then you go to bed at night and you're like, what did I do today? I remember I broke my leg twice, 2 torn ACLs, so I couldn't get off the couch for a couple of weeks at the time. And I would just binge. At the time, it was Alias and Lost. And I think I got through like 14 episodes. Oh, and 24. Can't forget 24, right? Just going to watch one more. Famous last words. I think I binged like 14 episodes of Lost in one day. I went to bed that night. I was so restless. I'm like, what did I do with my day? Now, I had really no other option. I couldn't go anywhere. I was strapped to the bed. But you ever just do that and you're just sitting in front of the TV, or you just have one of those days and you lay there in bed and you're like, there's just this kind of hollowish type feeling of, yeah, maybe there was something else that I could have been giving my time to. So we have this satisfying feeling versus this empty hollow. I would argue that work, when done well, and whether it's the thing that you do for an income or other work that you do just simply for fun, that is filling and satisfying. And you rest your head on the pillow and you're like, ah, that was a day. Now let's go another slide. All right, let's talk about this then. I forgot I even put this one in here. So I want to talk about work being something that reflects God, and that work is something that God did. And so that's how the author puts it here in the beginning of Genesis. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and then he blessed it. So God did all of this work, and then God rested. And next week, we're actually going to talk about Sabbath, this idea of rest. But the idea that's baked right into the beginning of Scripture is you do some work, you do some creating. You do something where you're filling and making, and you're creating beauty for the world, and then you take a pause. You take a step back. And this is the rhythm that we are meant to live with. This idea is that we give ourselves to the flourishing of the world for 6 days, and then we take a step back. And we rest. We reflect on where we've been. We refill ourselves. So when Monday morning or Tuesday morning, whatever day it happens to be, whenever that rolls around, you're ready to invest the best of what you have so that you can give the best of yourself and your gifts to the world. This is what we find. We don't find this fall, this curse, something that we have to do, but rather it's a joy. It's meant to be a joy that we get to partner with God. We get to do the same thing as what God was doing. Work for the good of all creation. Now let's talk about how work has been tainted or distorted. You ever do soulless work? Maybe you've used this expression before. I've heard many people use this. I feel simply like a cog in the wheel. You're part of a system. That's not how it's meant to be, where you're just filling a gap and anyone could do it. Where at the end of the day, you walk away from work, you punch the time card, you walk out, and you're just feeling hollow and empty. We've created work that is hollow, that's soulless, that doesn't actually fill us. That's one way. See, work done well is meant to be soul-filling, to be soulful, like that gospel music where you're like, ooh, that thing had some soul to it. That's how work is supposed to feel. And then let's talk about who are the people that oftentimes get paid the most. What about sports stars? Think they're getting paid enough money? Garrett Cole, $325 million for him to bomb in the wild card game. still not over it. I mean, think about the millions of dollars in contracts that we give to these sports stars. And we enjoy it. It's good. They provide entertainment for us. But then think about how much a teacher gets paid. The educators. The people who are raising our children to be the next leaders in the world. The next people who are going to carry the world forward. What about the social media influencers? I mean, how many millions of dollars do TikTok stars get paid? For what? For creating a 20-second silly video where they're lip-syncing or whatever they happen to be doing? Or how about this one? You ever watch these things? I had no idea this existed. I found out about this a couple of years ago because one of our friend's sons was watching this. You can watch someone play a video game with their commentary. So you can just sit there with an iPad, and you can watch someone else play this video game that they've recorded themselves playing with their commentary over it. You know how much money these people get paid for recording themselves playing video games and giving a commentary? Like millions of dollars. Again, social media influencers, video game players, teachers. Pretty big gap. I'd argue there's one that's having a much bigger impact in the world. I'm not going to tell you which one I think, but I'm sure you can all guess. What about CEO bonuses at the end of the year so they can have their private jets and fly all around the world while the rest of us just, we're trying to make a living for our family. We're trying to create a sustainable life for ourselves, and yet there's such a disparity. And I think oftentimes that's why work gets distorted, because sometimes we value, and there's nothing wrong with sports stars. There's nothing wrong with people playing video games, recording themselves. Of course not. But there's often this disparity between what it is. Sometimes we value some things more than others. And so then we begin to say, well, these workers, this type of work is more valuable than this type of work. But is that really true? If we're all giving ourselves to creating a world that's filled with joy, grace, love, forgiveness, peace, well, maybe it should be a bit more equal. And maybe we should revisit this value system, this monetary value system that we've created for ourselves in the modern culture. Then there's a documentary, I believe it's on Netflix, or it used to be on Netflix, called True Cost. So how's work been distorted? You can go to a store, you can buy clothing that's been made by child slaves. That was made for pennies. And now you're buying it for X amount of dollars, and the people who are making those shirts are getting paid next to nothing. Next to nothing. See, we oftentimes in life, we want to get things as cheaply as we possibly can. We want a deal. We want the discount. That shirt's X amount of dollars. This shirt's this much. Let me go with the cheaper one, even though the more expensive one was made with fair labor. And oftentimes we go through life because, again, we're consumers, and we try to hold on to things. We want what's ours is ours, and we don't care who gets hurt along the way. Diamond workers, the chip in your cell phone. How many people, how many kids have had their lives destroyed? How many people aren't getting paid fair wages for the work that they do? And then we, at the top, living in Westchester County, we get to benefit from the work of others. There was a stat in the book of Slow Church, and I don't have the numbers for now. That book was written about 7 years ago. But it said that we actually have more slaves today than we've ever had in human history. That breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. And unfortunately, we all play a role in that. And I hate that that's true. But unfortunately, by our purchases, by the things that we buy, we play a role in perpetuating a system that keeps people in slavery. That's a distortion of work. That's a distortion of what God intended when humanity was created, when some people at the top benefit at the expense of others. Fair wages, fair labor. I would argue that that is what Genesis 1 is talking about. That's an implication of what we read right in the beginning of Genesis. But then we get to that fall in Genesis 3 and takes what was meant to be good and twists it, distorts it, and now we end up in some of the places where we find ourselves today. off center from what the purpose was. Let's go to the next slide. And again, true cost, go and check out the documentary. If it's not on Netflix, you can probably just go find it on YouTube. So what is true work? Satisfying, filling work. True work is work that helps all people flourish. It's for the benefit of all people. In the beginning, Genesis 1, we talked about this last week when we talked about wholeness, shalom, all things connected. What happens with work is sometimes that disconnect occurs because we think it's about us or about our community, and we neglect the people that are making those shirts in another country. But Genesis 1, it tells us that we are all connected together. And so we all are seeking after the good of all creation and all people, wherever they happen to live. True work, it taps into your deepest desires, your deepest passions. And it's not always about being paid. I've heard people say, hey, you know what? If I were to get paid for doing this, this thing that I love, I would actually begin to hate it. Because then now I have to get money from it. And so I know plenty of people who have a hobby on the side, and they do it just for the joy of it. So work, the work that God intended in Genesis 1, sometimes it's not how you make an income. It's not how you pay the bills. It's the thing that you do when the kids go to bed at night. It's the thing that you do on Saturday morning when you wake up. It's the thing that just brings you pure joy. And you have this other work that you do that's good. It helps you pay the bills, and it helps you keep that hobby and the passion going and alive. Let's go one more slide. Oh, okay, here we go. I love this poem by David White. It says, I look out at everything growing so wild and faithfully beneath the sky and wonder why we are the one terrible part of creation privileged to refuse our flowering. A tree is going to become a tree. Nothing it can do about it. Can't become a dandelion. It's not going to become a flower or a bear. A tree is going to become a tree. Flower is going to become a flower. Lion will be a lion, do what a lion does. We as humans, sometimes we fight our true nature. We fight our true selves. We want to be, or we think we want to be, someone other than who we are. And so we fight against it. We take something that was meant for us to give back to the world, and now we want to be like them. We want to be like someone else. And so we miss out, I would argue, we miss out on the true work that we were created for. I think the goal of spirituality, the thing that God most desires for all of us, for you, is for you to be the truest version of yourself. Because when you are the truest version of yourself, when you're not out seeking the biggest paycheck, and when you're actually giving yourself to that which is already birthed deep down within you, now you have the best gift to offer the world. You're tapping into that true nature that God birthed into you. Let's go one more slide. We'll talk about sloth, one of the deadly sins, because I'm sure you all saw that coming. Sloth is the sin of inaction. The thing about slothfulness that makes slothfulness so dangerous and so deadly is that it takes the gifts that you have within you, and then you just sit on the sidelines and say, I'm not going to use them. I'm not going to blossom or flower into my truest self. I'm not going to take everything that I've been given and use it to create a world that is fair for all people, that is sustainable, that brings beauty and meaning to the world. And so it steals your life because you go to bed with that hollow feeling, but it also robs us of the gift of your life. Genesis 1, the way in which the world works best, the way in which God intends for the world to work, is when we all take that which we have and then throw it back into the world. We're giving the best gift of ourselves, and when we all do that together, creates a world that's in harmony, that's connected, and that is good for all people. So here's three ways to discover true work. One, look for the joy. Where do you find joy in the things that you create, the things that you make? And again, it doesn't have to be the thing that you get paid to do. Maybe it's a hobby, a thing you do at night. Find work that brings order from chaos. The work that God did in Genesis 1 was taking everything that was chaotic and swirling around and began to give order to it. God brought meaning from the chaos. Where do you see chaos in the world? Where do you see chaos around you? And where does it break your heart? Where when you see chaos, you say, oh, I got to do something about that. That is a clue that that is the work that you've been called to do in this world. And then a third idea, which we'll get into this next week when we talk about Sabbath, but work is not meant to be your identity. Sometimes when you meet someone, there's the question of, hey, what's your name? What do you do? It's one of the first questions that we ask. So work oftentimes gets associated as, well, this is my identity. I'm a electrician, or I'm a physical therapist, or I'm an electrical engineer, whatever it happens to be. Work oftentimes becomes our identity, but that's not truest about you. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that next week when we talk about Sabbath and rest. But this is a little disclaimer. Now, okay, what time do we have? 11. Okay. So one of the things that we've been doing with this series, we've been doing a little Q&A or a chance as we've been reading through the chapter, a chance to make a comment. So do we have any comments on this idea of work or any questions? Yeah, let me bring this over.
So the cog in the wheel job, if you remember Halston Dress, the stylist, I had a job in Brooklyn, and I had to take the same cut of two pieces of clothing and just one stitch. That was all day. It was all day. No room for creativity. You didn't have time to talk. You just had to turn it out. And it was really not fun. And I think that's why, like, some people after work, they're like, ugh, I got to go out and I got to do something. I have to know that I'm alive. You know, if you don't have that kind of a job all day, all those hours, we are creative, I think, by nature, partly, most of us.
All of us.
All of us. I'm thinking of like TBI patients that like can't, they're like their creativity is limited, but I think basically all of us want to do that. So I don't know, it's just I really identified with that, and it's so much better if you can find a job that you don't care if that your boss came to you and just said, I can't pay you. Okay, fine. I'm still going to work.
Peel those apples, honey. Like so many things in this world, in this society, there's a lack of balance, right? So you had a point up there, like about the disparity in wages and, you know, and salary scale. I have this expression that we use around the house. When Laura brings me something and says, oh, maybe we should go buy this. And I look at it and I said, yeah, that price has been marked down from obscene to outrageous. But when you talk about pay scales, it is out of balance, right? It is out of balance. But to say that that every form of work should be compensated the same is equally false. Okay, so you know there need to be certain jobs. You know, so for example, a high school student or young people. There need to be starter jobs where people actually learn and develop some skills that are necessary for later on. But the point is valid that it just, you know, in some cases it's just way, way, way out of proportion.
And being, you know, being such a large disparity. However, I think what comes along with that is the idolization that our younger generation has towards, let's say, the sports athletes or the entertainers. And I think that's the issue in our society that really we all need to dig deeper and see where we fit in that and how we look at it and how we teach our younger people who are coming up how they look at it. Right, I think about, I'm a big basketball person. This guy on the Brooklyn team, Kyrie Irving, because he doesn't want to do something that the league is asking him to do, he is forfeiting over $350,000 per game. And I'm thinking, wait, how could that even be possible, right? And it's nothing to him. It seems that it's not. I don't know. It seems that it's nothing to him. And we have people in the same county where he plays who are homeless, children who are not eating. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I just feel like we as a society need to look at that a little differently, because it's just so. Okay, so anyone wants to join us?
Well, you know, congratulations to him for standing on a principle that he believes in, whether or not you agree or disagree with what he's doing. And I agree with what you're saying, and I would just add, as a footnote to that, to whom much is given, much is expected. So, you know, if you're making these, shall we say, ungodly amounts of money, if you're making these kind, you know, these amounts of money, what are you doing with that?
No, I think that's all.
Sorry, you asked.
Oh, no. It's, I mean, look, honestly, that's what church is supposed to be. You know, I mean, it's we come together and we don't always agree 100%. We put Christ at the center, but if you can't have conversations where you disagree at church, I mean, where are you going to have them? I mean, isn't that what church is supposed to be? But at the end of the day, we're family. But I mean, to all of that, 100%, you know, I mean, it's sad when there's people in our county who are going hungry. They can't pay their bills, so they're homeless. So how can we create a system that is fair? And also, what you just said, look deep into ourselves, because oftentimes, you know, there's things that we could be doing in order to help, again, create a system that all people can flourish and have the things, the basic necessities that they need to survive. Well, yes. Right. Yep. Yeah. So much is given. And so when people are that high up there and that visible, well, how can they be a good role model for others? All right. So we'll put a pause on work. Feel free to go out to lunch with Joe and Mary afterwards. Oh man! Hey, let me pray for us, and we'll close with one more song. God, thank you for the truth of Genesis. God, that work is something that is intended for our good. God, to fill us, that we were created with a purpose. That God, we're not meant to just be people who are here filling space, but rather there's something that we are called to do with our lives. God, there's a gift that you have given each of us, a gift that we are meant to give the world. And so, God, I just ask that we would continue to explore that, and that we would be people who would give the best of ourselves to the world around us, that we would help create a world that is fair, God, a world where everyone can flourish and has the things that they need to flourish in this life. So we just ask that we would find work that satisfies, that fills us, and connects us deeply with the people that we've been created to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.